Of course, we're about in the middle of our spring program, Filler Up, and I want to say a word of thanks to all the pew captains. You've done a good job so far in filling your rows up in 2 more weeks. Last week, we looked at the first boat that's mentioned in the Bible, the Ark of Gopher Wood that Noah built. And this morning, we're going to look at the second boat that's in the Bible, the Ark of Bulrushes that Jochebed made for her son Moses. And so I just want to go back a little bit to Genesis chapter 1 and set the scene for you as to what's going on here in chapter 2 with the passage of scripture that we read. It says in Exodus chapter 1, 8 that there arose a new king over Egypt that knew not Joseph. And I would remind you that Joseph was that young man that was sold into slavery, came into Egypt, put there by God to save God's people. Because Pharaoh had a dream, and that dream was basically the dream was that there were going to be 7 good years and 7 bad years. And in those 7 good years, Joseph, appointed by Pharaoh, gathered up all the grain, the excess grain in the country, so that when the 7 bad years came, he was able to sell that grain and save not only God's people, but the Egyptians and everybody else. In fact, Joseph made the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, rich. Because the Bible says, as he was selling that grain in the 7 good years, he gathered up all the wealth and brought it into Pharaoh's house. He gathered up all the animals and all the land, and except for the priest, and gave it to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh basically had all the wealth that was in Egypt. In fact, when Joseph set up the system of giving some of the land back to the people, he didn't give the land back to the people, but he gave the right to farm it back to the people. And he said, now when you farm, when the famine, this famine's over, and when you farm again, 20% of all your increase is going to be Pharaoh's. And so they had a 20% tax on all their increase. Okay, some of us think we got it bad. Well, just think about them. They didn't own nothing and still had to pay a 20% income tax on their increase for the year. And so Joseph made Pharaoh rich. But this verse says there arose another king of Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he looked around and he saw all these Israelites in his country, and he said, "You know what? There's more of them than there are of us. And they're mightier than we are. We got to do something." And so the Bible said he made them all slaves. And he afflicted them. He made their life hard. But then again, the Bible says the more he afflicted them, the more they multiplied. So as Pharaoh began to pile on all the hardships that he put on the Israelites, God continued to bless them, and they continued to grow, have more children, and increase their population. And Pharaoh said, "Man, I got to do something. This is a big problem. I mean, pretty soon they already outnumber us, and pretty soon they're going to outnumber us more." So he called the midwives, those ladies that helped other ladies in Israel to have their babies. And he says, "Here's what I want you to do. Here's what you have to do. I want you, when you go to deliver a baby, a Hebrew baby, if it's a boy, I want you to kill it. If it's a girl, it can live. If it's a boy, I want you to kill it. If it's a girl, it can live." The Bible says the midwives did not cooperate with Pharaoh. It says the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded. And so when Pharaoh saw that the midwives were not going to help him, he just passed the law. He told all his people, he said, "Now look, be on the lookout. If you see a Hebrew baby boy, throw him in the river and kill him. If it's a girl, she can live. But if you see a Hebrew baby boy, throw it in the river and kill him." Now, that's what was going on when Moses was born. In chapter 2 of Exodus, verse 1, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi." And over in Exodus chapter 6, we learn that that man's name was Amram and the woman's name was Jochebed. They had a little baby boy. Bible says he was a goodly child. And they hid him in the house for 3 months. But when they could no longer hide him, his mother made a little ark of bulrushes. Said, the Bible says, daubed it within and without with slime and with pitch. They put the child in that little ark of bulrushes, his mother did, and laid him in the reeds by the side of the river. And we read the rest of the story. the baby was found by one of Pharaoh's daughters, a princess of Egypt. As she opened that little ark, she saw the baby, and at that particular moment, the baby cried. And just like most other women that see a baby cry, she could not help herself. She had compassion on that child. And she said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Now his sister, Moses' older sister Miriam, was in the weeds watching what was going to happen to her little baby brother. And when she saw the compassion on the part of the princess, she went up to him and planted a suggestion in her mind. She said, would you like me to go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this child for you? And the princess thought for just a second and said, hey, that's a good idea. Go get somebody. And so Miriam went back and got her own mother, Moses' mother, and Pharaoh's daughter said to Jochebed, take this child, nurse it for me, and I will pay you. Wouldn't you like that? Mothers. I mean, you do it because you love it, but wouldn't it be better if somebody paid you? But anyhow, that's not part of the story. It is part of the story, but that's not part of my sermon this morning. And so we read, Adam read in verse 10, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. I see in this story of the little baby Moses and the Ark of Bulrushes three things that God wants to do for every single person. And as I mentioned a moment ago, today I'm going to preach a two-part sermon. This morning from Ark, tonight to Ark. There was another Ark that was in Moses' life at the end of his life. And it shaped his life, and we're going to talk about that tonight. But this morning, I want to look at this Ark of Bulrushes, and I want to look at three things that it did to Moses, three things that God offers to all of us. Number one, this Ark of Bulrushes that Jochebed made for her son was an Ark of salvation for Moses. Because you see, Moses was under the condemnation of death. He was a Hebrew boy. He was a Hebrew son. And under Pharaoh's edict, all boys, all sons, were to be tossed into the river so that they would drown. Pharaoh wanted them all dead. He tried to get the midwives to do it, and when they wouldn't do it, he took matters into his own hands and again ordered all his people and said, if you see a little Hebrew baby boy, throw him into the river, kill him, drown him, just get rid of him. And in a sense, as I was thinking about it this past couple weeks, in a sense, Jochebed was doing exactly what Pharaoh told his people to do. She took her son and threw him in the river. But there was a little slight difference. She put him in an ark of bulrushes. And that ark of bulrushes made the difference between life and death for that little baby. That ark of bulrushes made the difference. That little baby did not drown. He did not die. He floated. And he was found by that princess. I don't believe it was an accident or a coincidence when she opened that ark that that little baby cried. I think it was part of the eternal plan of God. I don't believe it was an accident or a coincidence that this lady, this princess, when she heard that little baby cry and when she saw him cry, it wasn't an accident or a coincidence that she had compassion on him. I believe it was part of the eternal plan of God. All of it was part of God's plan for that little boy. And I would point out to you this morning that Moses was not spared. Moses was not saved because he was a goodly child. He was not spared or saved because of what he did. He was only 3 months old. What could he do to justify being spared and saved by God? But he was spared and saved because God had a plan for that little boy, for that man who would become a man, and part of that plan was that somebody would have compassion on him and save him from the sentence of death. Now, I would remind every single person here this morning that all of us, at one time or another, and you'll see what I mean by that in a second, all of us, all mankind, is under the condemnation of death. And it's not a condemnation from man, it's a condemnation from God. The Bible says that we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And sin is disobedience to God. Sin is doing something that God said not to do, or not doing something that God said to do. And we're all born with a sin nature. Every single, those two little boys we had up here this morning, they were born with a sin nature. Now, they haven't sinned yet, but they'll grow up. And one day, both of them, like all of us, will come to that time in our life where we know the difference between right and wrong. We know what God wants us to do, and we know what we want to do. And that sin nature takes hold of us, and we do what we want to do. We choose to do wrong. We become a sinner. And with that sin, we come under the condemnation of God, where the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And it's not just talking about physical death. In fact, it's not talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death, being separated from God. But I want to tell you this morning, and it should excite you, God has a plan for every single one of us. Every single one of us, God has a plan. And part of that plan is that somebody, have compassion on us. And that somebody in God's plan that has compassion on us is God Himself. Many of you this morning are saved. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you've asked Jesus to be your Savior. That you are not saved this morning because of who you are or what you've done. You are saved this morning because God in heaven had compassion on you and had compassion on me. And our ark this morning, our ark of salvation, is not an ark made by man. It's not made of anything of this earth. The ark of our salvation was made by God in heaven. And the ark of our salvation is His Son, Jesus Christ. He's the ark of our salvation. I was thinking last night as I was finishing up my notes, how every mother and every father and every grandma and every grandpa would like to do for their children and their grandchildren what Jochebed did to her son Moses. We'd like to take our children, not just little babies. There are mothers here this morning that have grown children that would like to do what I'm about to say. They would like to take their children and place them in that ark of salvation. Every mother, every dad, grandpa, grandma, we would like to take our children and our grandchildren, and we'd like to place them in that ark of salvation. We'd like to know that they're okay with God. We'd like to know that their sins have been forgiven. We'd like to know that they have a home in heaven. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. I can't make that decision for my children. I can't make it for my grandchildren. They have to make it for themselves, and you have to make it for yourself. Nobody can make that decision for you. Jesus said, He said, you come to me and I'll save you. You put your trust in me and I'll save you. But He also said, I can't save you if you won't come. I can't save you if you won't come. He's not going to force it on us. He said, if you don't, He said, you're going to miss eternal life. You're going to miss heaven because you won't come. And just like the ark of bulrushes was the difference between life and death for that little baby Moses, so the ark of salvation in Jesus Christ is the difference between life and death for every single one of us. And so again, I say this morning, like I did last week, get on board. Don't wait. You're not promised another opportunity. This may be, and you say, preacher, I don't think you should scare people like this. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the truth. You may not have another opportunity. This may be the last chance you hear the gospel. This may be the last chance that the Holy Spirit tugs on your heart and says, hey, you need to do what that preacher's talking about. You need to get saved. Get on board this morning It makes a difference between life and death. Nothing else did. And so that ark of bulrushes was an ark of salvation for Moses. Number two, that ark of bulrushes was a way to a new life. A way to a new life. When Moses joined Pharaoh's family, all things became new. He was no longer a slave. He was a prince. And everything changed. Everything changed. He lived in a new house. He wore new clothes. He ate new food. He enjoyed new privileges. He faced new opportunities. Nothing about his life remained the same. All things changed. All things became new. You know, the thing, same thing happens to us when we get into the family of God. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are a prince. We are a child of the King. We are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And when we get in Jesus Christ, we get a new nature. We have new privileges. We have new opportunities. We have a new life in Jesus Christ. And this morning, that new life is available to every single person. Every single person that's here this morning, that new life is available to you. If you'll get in the ark, if you'll place yourself in Jesus Christ, it's the only way to get it. We sing that song, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. You say, preacher, does that mean all my troubles go away? All my sorrows go away? All my trials go away? No. But it means you don't have to face them by yourself. It means you have somebody, a heavenly Father, that faces them with you and promises you, I'll never put more on you than you can bear. I'll give you the strength to endure and to bear it. And to get through it. So that ark of bulrushes was a way to a new life. And then number three, as I hasten to finish, that ark of the bulrushes was a door to training for service. A door to training for service. You see, when Moses became part of Pharaoh's family, it just wasn't all enjoying the new privileges. It just all wasn't living in the court of a king and having fun all the time. As part of Pharaoh's family, Moses entered into the training that all of Pharaoh's sons and grandsons went through. He went through a program to basically be trained to become a pharaoh, to become a king, to become the leader of Egypt. I mean, that was so that whatever happened, there was to Pharaoh or to his sons or to his grandsons, there was always somebody trained to take over. And Moses, because he was a grandson of Pharaoh, because he was the son of this princess, he entered into that training program. And so Moses was taught how to lead. He was taught how to be an administrator. He was taught how to organize. He was taught how to motivate people. He was taught how to care for people. Again, it was all part of God's plan for this man. It was all part of his plan. He wasn't going to lead Egypt. He wasn't going to be the Pharaoh of Egypt. He wasn't going to be the king of Egypt. God had a higher calling for him. He was going to lead God's people out of Egypt. He was going to lead God's people to a place that God had prepared for them. He was going to lead God's people to the promised land. And the same thing that was true of Moses is true for us today that know Jesus as our Savior. When God saves us, yes, we enjoy the privileges of being a king's kid. We enjoy the privilege of living as a joint heir of Jesus Christ. But he doesn't just save us so that we can enjoy all the fun. He puts us into a training program and calls us to a work to do the same thing that Moses did Do you ever stop and think about this? You're in the same business Moses was. Moses was leading God's people to a place prepared for them by God. And your job and my job is to do the same thing. To lead God's people, who is everybody, because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Our job is to lead them to that place that God has prepared for them, the promised land, heaven. That's our job. That's our calling. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So he saves us, and then he calls us, and he says, hey, I have a place prepared. A place prepared for you and a place prepared for everybody that you know. Now your job is to lead them to that place. And we lead them to that place by leading them to the Savior. We lead them to the promised land by leading them to Jesus Christ. We lead them to heaven by telling them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. So this morning, are you on? Are you in that ark? Listen to me, if you're not in, I don't know how to, I don't know how to beg you. I don't know how to plead with you. I don't know what else to say. You need to get on board this morning. You need to ask Jesus to be your Savior right now. Right now. Right now. Not tomorrow, not next week. Say, preacher, this is my first time here. I want to think about it. No, you don't. You've heard the truth from God's Word. Listen to the Holy Spirit as He draws you to the Savior. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You may not have another time. You need to ask Him to save you now. Now again, I know most of us here this morning, we know Him as our Savior. We've gotten on board. And and all things have become new. But we need to be busy. Because we have the same calling that Moses did. And that's to lead others to that place that God will prepare for them. Heaven. Heaven. So again, if you're here this morning, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, get into the ark. The ark of salvation. If you know Him as your Savior, then be busy trying to get other people in as well. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You. Thank You for having a plan for every single one of our lives. And that plan includes heaven. And so I pray if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that today would be the day, now would be the time, that they would see their sin, they would see the penalty of death that sin causes, and Father, they would come this morning. They would get on that ark of salvation. They would get into Jesus Christ, and Father, they'd get saved. And then I pray for the many Christians that are here. What a high calling, what a high privilege You've given us to help people get to that place that You've prepared for them. Help us to be busy. Help us to work at it every day. Father, I pray You bless this time of invitation. Speak to hearts this morning, Holy Spirit. Help us to decide to do what You want us to do. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.